Welcome back to the Evolving Wellness Podcast. My name is Sarah of Sarah Kleiner Wellness. Today's episode is with Dr. Tom Cowan, and I actually did not post this interview on YouTube because it is pretty controversial and I don't want to lose my YouTube channel. So I am so excited to be able to share this interview with you, even though it is just audio only. But I think it's important that we do give these different points of view a voice. So speaking of voices, I did lose mine over the holiday weekend. Just a lot of stress going on kind of in my personal life with my daughter. She's doing much better now, but you know, I am only human. I had a baby October the 5th and here it is December 27th. And my body finally said, we're going to take that voice away for a couple days. So it's on its way back. And that's another reason I'm just keeping this episode brief. In the introduction, there'll be no mid-roll, just an outro. So I hope that you enjoy it. And if you are a fan of the podcast, I would ask if you have not already done so to head on over to Apple or Spotify, leave me up to a 5-star review. It will help to get the information out to more people. And a quick little note, this week through the 1st of January, I'm actually doing a 20% off sale on all my courses with code end of year. I'll put that down in the show notes for you so that you can take advantage of that offer if you've been eyeing a particular course and there's one that you want to take a look at. I'm still working on my quantum nutrition course. I had hoped to have this finished, but it is not going to be ready until sometime in January. So make sure that you're subscribed to my newsletter to get that update when it is ready. I do want to thank one sponsor of today's episode. I'm only doing one sponsor, and that is VivaRays. You can use code YOGI to save 15% on those. And that is my go-to source for circadian glasses. Absolutely love them. And again, you can use these to help with your metabolism, believe it or not. So this is something that is very underutilized when it comes to our health, and that is optimizing circadian rhythms. So again, use code YOGI to save 15% on those. And I'm also, as a gift to my podcast listeners, going to drop in the show notes for you my guide to using blue blockers, my free guide. So if you are like, what are these blue blockers? Why do I need them? And how the heck do I even use them? Please check out that free guide. It's going to be linked down in the show notes for you so that you can understand why you need to use them and then how to use them, as well as get a link to a little bit less expensive brand if budget is an issue. All right, that is enough talking from me with my half voice. I hope you have a great day and enjoy this episode with Dr. Tom Cowan. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I am so excited to have today's guest. I've got Dr. Tom Cowan with me. So many of you have requested that I bring him onto the show, and I'm sure it's going to be a very interesting chat. So Dr. Cowan, thank you so much for being here.
That's fine. And you can call me Tom.
Tom. Okay. Well, thank you for being here, Tom.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Well, let's
is this, is, let's, are your listeners like mostly families, mothers, people with children? Is that basically...
You know, it's interesting. I have male and female listeners. I would say most of them are, 70% probably women. And a lot of them are, you know, between the ages of 35 and 70. I get a lot of women that are in 50s, 60s, and 70s. So mothers, grandmothers, but that's my primary listening audience. Not to offend my men. I know I have the 30% men listeners as well. So
yeah, they're not quite as bright, but anyway.
Yeah. Well, I would love to talk. You know, I'd come in with one idea of a topic and you're like, you know what? I've kind of shifted a bit on some of these topics. So maybe we can talk a little bit about why you've shifted and just everything behind that about viruses essentially.
Yeah. So the reason why I shifted, and basically you'd asked about talking about the book about vaccines and autoimmunity, and I mentioned that I actually don't believe there's such a thing as autoimmune diseases anymore. And the reason I shifted is because over the years, and I've, let's just say I've said a lot of things that people might find controversial, like the heart is not a pump. The reason
totally believe that. Yeah.
And cancer has nothing to do with genetics, and vaccines are not good for you, and they never prevented anybody getting sick ever. And the things I got wrong, there's two basic reasons why I got things wrong. One, I was sloppy, which means I didn't really do my homework. That's only probably about 10%. And the other reason is I believed the dominant narrative without really knowing whether it was true. I use an example, like if somebody said, should you brush your teeth? Now, I've never looked into that because everybody knows you should brush your teeth, right? But it turns out I ran into a dentist who presented pretty convincing evidence that the only people who never have cavities are people who never brush their teeth. And that the coating on your teeth is like a scab. And if you keep brushing it off, you end up exposing the scab, the wound. And he actually was able to heal cavities with that, partly by having people not brush their teeth. Now, I'm not telling anybody they shouldn't brush their teeth. In fact, I still brush my teeth. But what I'm saying is, I might have said over the years, people should brush their teeth, but I never actually looked into it. The science of whether it's actually good to brush your teeth or not. And so I might have said that being unaware that I was actually giving out misinformation because I was believing the dominant narrative. And that in that case, I didn't even know that there was a question. Like, I didn't know anybody thought you shouldn't brush your teeth. Yeah. So let me apply that to this situation. When I wrote that book, I believed there was such a thing as a virus, which means, let's be clear on a definition, which is a very small particle, meaning it's a thing, right? It's not an idea or a thought or a conception or an emotion, right? It's a thing.
Right.
And this thing is self-replicating, grows in other biological tissues like lungs, and causes disease as it self-replicates in these biological tissues. It also has a protein coat, and it has either RNA or DNA on the inside. So far, everybody agrees that's the proper definition of a virus. Now, here's the thing, and the best way for me to explain this, if I can ask a series of questions, because I think then your listeners will really say, if I was to ask you, how do you know there's trees? Right?
Right.
And because my guess is you believe there's trees, right?
Yeah.
And if I said, how do you know that? Tell me if this is right or wrong. Number one, you make a definition of a tree. Like it's got bark and roots and leaves and branches and all the rest of it. And then you go to its natural habitat, like a forest, and see if you can find anything that meets that definition, right? Now, right. I would admit that some of them have white bark and purple leaves or whatever, but everybody knows there is a kind of definition. And if you can see a tree, or maybe hundreds or thousands or millions, everybody knows there's trees, right?
Right.
So we have a process. Now, if I did that with frogs, you'd say, what's the definition of a frog? It's got two hind legs, two forelegs, two eyes, goes ribbit or something like that, catches flies, etc. And then you could say, what does a frog do? Well, it sits in the water and then it catches flies and all that. So you go to the same thing. You get a definition, you go to the natural habitat, you look for frogs, you find hundreds of frogs if you go to the right place. You can dissect it if you're mean to frogs and find out what it's made of and how much skin it has and what proteins. And then you can sit there and watch and see if it does catch flies, right?
Right.
So that's how we know things are real, what they're made of and what they do. You can do that with bacteria. They're single-celled, organisms. They have some genetic stuff in the inside and proteins, and they swim around. Some of them are ball-shaped and cocci, and some are rods, and they're in ponds and wetlands in your mouth and your eyelids, everywhere you can find them, etc. And that's how we know. We make a definition, we go to the natural habitat, and then we can analyze it, see what it's made of and what it does, right? Very right. Clear. So the next step might surprise you. If you do the same thing with a virus, right? Piece of protein, mm-hmm. genetic interior, mm-hmm. self-replicates, all the proteins are coded. There is not one published study in the history of science or medicine that has found such a thing in any biological fluid of any plant, animal, or tissue, or human, sorry. Not one. And I am 100% sure of that. Not only am I 100% sure of that, but we now have freedom of information answers from over 200 institutions, CDC, NIH, British Health Ministry, Ukrainian Minister of Health, et cetera. Can you show us a published study, like if you unearth a chickenpox blister, right? Mm-hmm. Can you see right. this particle there that would fit the definition of a chickenpox virus? Do you have a paper? Or the snot from somebody with measles? Or the lung fluid of somebody with SARS-CoV-2, the virus that allegedly causes COVID? Or mm-hmm. smallpox? Or monkeypox? Or HIV in the blood or the lymph tissue of anybody? Anybody, one paper, they say no. Doesn't exist. Doesn't really? Exist. Period. Not even whether it causes disease, right? Mm-hmm. We're talking about you went to all the forests and all the plains and you didn't find one tree. And you went to all the ponds and you didn't find one frog. And you went to your mouth and nose and wetlands and boogers and all the rest. You didn't find one bacteria. Now, the question is, do you still believe there are trees, frogs, and bacteria? So you have to go to the virologist. What makes you think there are these things, right? Because
right.
everybody has said for hundreds of years almost, there are these things. So they say, okay, let's go to the first question. Why can't you find them? Because everybody agree, every virologist will say, yeah, you cannot find one SARS-CoV-2 in the lung fluid of anybody with COVID. Not one. Even if you mix 10,000 people, I have it on record, you won't find one SARS-CoV-2. Why not? There's not enough to see, they say. Now think about really? That. You go to the forest, you believe in trees, and right. there's not enough to see. And I said, well, if there's not enough to see, and that means there's less than a millionth of a pinhead amount of viruses, because if there was more, you could see it on an electron microscope.
Right.
How is it causing you to die?
Right.
Well,
that's my question.
We don't know. We don't know. And then they say, no, Tom, the reason you can't find it is because it's an intracellular, inside the cell parasite. And so you can't find it because it's only in the cell and you're not looking in the cell. So I asked him, well, how does it get from one person to the next? He said, well, it gets out of the cell and goes to the next person through the air. I said, why don't you catch it then? Well, that's not there for very long. Like how long? Like a few hours. I said, why don't you get somebody with a net and he'll catch all the snot for a few hours and then he'll look at it and then you'll find it that, well, we don't have enough money for that, right? They have $100 billion to do research, but they can't pay for a guy to catch your snot. So they say they don't have an answer. And mm-hmm. then you say, well, what makes you believe there's these viruses? They say, here's the three steps. they take like chicken pox snot from somebody with chicken pox or the blister, and they put that on a cell culture, meaning they put that on monkey kidney cells. And then they add penicillin and amphotericin and gentamicin and take away the nutrients, add fetal bovine serum, which is the serum that they suck out of the cow of a newborn calf from their heart. Mm. And they see that the cell dies, right? Unpurified mm-hmm. snot, all these things, the cells die. They say that proves the virus killed the cells. And we said, wait a minute. And so we actually did an experiment where we put all those things, we took away the nutrients, put the bovine serum, put the you know, the antibiotics, you know, the fetal stuff. And we didn't add anything from anybody in this case with measles or SARS. Mm-hmm. And the cells died because we starved and poisoned them. So we proved that it had nothing to do with anything in the snot of somebody with COVID. And then they say, well, yeah, but then you see these cells die and you see these pictures. You've all seen mm-hmm. pictures of electron microscope. So yeah. I showed them 20 different publications of kidney biopsies, lung biopsies. People have no way they have COVID. They have no SARS-CoV-2 anywhere. And the conclusion of the study where they were indistinguishable. In other words, these pictures are just heavy metal impregnated electron microscope dehydrated stuff that nobody can tell whether they're a virus or just dead and dying material. And in fact, I have this thing called my pumpkin challenge where I have 11 pictures. Some of them are SARS-CoV-2 and some of them are kidney biopsies. And I showed them to my cat Pumpkin and asked him which ones are which. And he knows how to say yes or no by moving his paw. And he got 6 out of 11 correct. Actually, mostly says yes. So I've asked any virologist, you see if you can do better than Pumpkin, and nobody has taken me up on it. And the final thing they do is they take this snot and they mm-hmm. look for the genome, right? You've heard they've mm-hmm. sequenced the genome. Mm-hmm. So here's what they do. Imagine you can't find a tree, right? Right. And you go to a place and there's grass and plants, but no trees. And you find a piece of a leaf. And then you do an analysis of the chemicals of the leaf. And you say, this leaf must have come from a tree. Somebody say, how do you know? Well, because it's similar to the previously published piece of a leaf study that was done in 2003. Well, how'd they do that one? They compared it to the previous study of the part of the leaf of a tree in 1989. And where did they do that one? That was from 1906, where they made it up. In other words, there is no genome in there. And mm-hmm. here's a principle of logic. Unless you have a whole, you can never claim that this piece came from the whole. Mm. If you say I have a tusk or a toenail, and you say it's from a hippo, rhinoceros, or fat animal that you've never seen, you can't do that unless you've had the animal first and proved that that toenail came from that animal. But they don't do it like that. They just take millions of pieces. They don't know where they came from. They stitch them together because that genome is not in the mixture. They stitch them together and then they claim that this is the full genome without having any idea where any of those pieces came from. And that's the whole story of virology right there. So what that means for, you know, when you're talking about like, why do children get sick?
Right.
It's not because of viruses, period. And therefore, they made up the concept of an immune system to make you believe there were viruses. So why do you get sick? You get sick, well, first of all, you know, I usually stop there because one of the rules of logic is I or anybody doesn't need to know what is true to know something isn't true. In other words,
I agree.
If you ever looked into why clouds form and it rains, it's very complicated. Like the why the clouds float on the air, you know, they should fall down. And so I don't really know that. Let's just say I've looked into it and I can't figure it out. So somebody
Dr.
comes.
Dr. Pollack is working on something like that right now.
Yeah,
his new
right.
book.
It's complicated. Right. Jerry yeah, is getting figured out.
Yeah.
So somebody comes along and says, Tom, I know why it rains because there's a bunch of elephants up there pissing down from the sky. And so I asked him, how high up are the elephants? Well, they're about a mile up. What do they look like? Normal elephants. They're gray and they have tusks and they pee a lot like elephants. So I say, okay. So I go up with an airplane and I look because they told me it's a mile and I have the telescope and but not a single elephant. Now I can tell you for sure after that, it's not because of elephants. But why it's rain, I still don't know, but I know it's not elephants. So I know it's not viruses. So why do children get sick? It's the same reason anybody gets sick. There's basically four reasons. One is you get an injury, like you fall off a horse, right? You break your leg. Another is you're starving. You don't have the right food. You could even be starving for love or emotional support or nurturing. And so your tissue breaks down. When your tissue breaks down, it makes these particles, which were mistaken for viruses. They're just breaking down of your tissue. And you eliminate these things through your skin. And so children who are growing fast and they run out of collagen, which is what their skin is made of, will often have elimination of poisons through their skin. And we call that measles and chicken pox and used to call it smallpox. And then they have a vaccine for smallpox. So they changed the definition and now they call it measles and then they call it chicken pox. And then they get a vaccine for chicken pox and then they call it atopic dermatitis. There's no immune system. There's you were poisoned. You couldn't get rid of it. Your skin took over the elimination channels. It's very simple. The other reason is so there's injuries, starving, or poisoned, right? You get, you know, all kinds of different poisons, and then you get sick. You have a detoxification mechanism that sometimes gets overwhelmed. You don't have enough bowel movements, et cetera. And so then you get sick. And that can be chronic. And you end up making proteins, which we erroneously call antibodies, to try to repair your tissue, right? So you got glyphosate poisoning or EMF poisoning or arsenic poisoning, or you don't eat the right food or a combination of those two. And so then your tissue breaks down, you eliminate through the skin, and then they say you have a rash. And then you make antibodies, which are proteins to heal your tissues. And then we say you have an autoimmune disease. And we suppress your ability to make antibodies to heal your tissue. And then we tell you, well, you're going to have this autoimmune disease for life.
Right.
Because we've just prevented you. A, we didn't identify what the problem was, which is that you're starved, poisoning, and maybe fell off a horse. And we didn't let you eliminate properly. We certainly didn't help you because we don't know anything about this. And then when you started making repair proteins, we poisoned you even more so that you stopped making repair proteins. And now you have lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, eczema, asthma for life. And since COVID, I've added a fourth cause of illness, which I actually think is the number one cause of all illness. and I'm not sure the name for it, but I call it delusional thinking. And let me give you an example. A guy I knew, so-called anthroposophical doctor, who believed in the germ theory, believed in viruses.
Mm-hmm.
So he spent his career giving HIV drugs to people with AIDS. Mm-hmm. Now, just as an aside, you probably don't know this, but you know how HIV was found?
Wasn't it in monkeys?
No.
No.
HIV,
I have no idea.
Is the virus. It was found by Luc Montagnier and Robert Gallo. Okay. And the way they found it is they took lymphocytes, which are like white blood cells, from mm-hmm. people they said had AIDS, and they cultured them with something called PHA, which is a chemical that makes them grow. And then right. they did an assay in the culture, and said they found an enzyme called reverse transcriptase. And they said that reverse transcriptase means that there is a retrovirus in that mixture. And that became the proof that there was a retrovirus in the mixture. That's how they found HIV. Now, the interesting part of that is Gallo himself, right? The guy who said this and got a Nobel Prize, 10 years before, wrote a paper saying, every culture of lymphocytes from anybody, sick or not sick, any disease, if you culture it with PHA, you will find reverse transcriptase in the mixture. That's what he said. He wrote a paper proving wow. that reverse transcriptase is a non-specific enzyme that's found in every stressed culture.
Wow.
And yet he claimed that was the proof, not a proof, that HIV, there was a retrovirus, meaning it has reverse transcriptase, which transcribes the RNA into DNA. And mm-hmm. that was the proof. That's the proof. Everybody agrees, and it's a total fraud. And he wow. knew it. He knew it. Now, getting back to this person I knew. So he spent his entire career being delusional, giving HIV drugs, poisons, to people with AIDS under the delusion that it was caused by HIV, even though I know for a fact that he had no idea how anybody just came up with the idea of HIV. Because I asked him, he didn't know. So he doesn't know how you know or not. And so then he ends up, because he believes in viruses, he takes 4 COVID shots. After the 4th one, drops dead of some sort of clot. And so why did he die? You could say he died because of the shot.
Right.
But he really died because he was delusional, right? He believed in these viruses, and our thoughts create actions. Right? Mm-hmm. We think something, we believe something, we make an action. Actions have consequences. He believed there was a virus. He doesn't know how you know or don't know.
Right.
Right? I can guarantee 99% of your doctors, if you go in and sit in the office and say, how does a virologist know there's a virus? Right? Simple question.
They can't tell you.
Well, some of them say, well, because the consensus of virologists says there's a virus.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
That's not.
I mean, they get together at a table and say, who thinks there's a virus? And if 90% say yes, then that means it's true. Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I feel like a lot of science these days works, is how many people can we get to approve this double blind peer-reviewed study, you know?
It's basically nonsense.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
So, you know, the problem with that vaccine book was I still, here's an admission. Even though I'm writing a book on vaccines, which is the same as your doctor, and even the leading freedom activists in the anti-vaccine movement, if you say to them, how do you make a vaccine? Right? Simple question. Right. They don't know. Right. Here's how you make a vaccine. You take, some, let's say, measles. By the way, there was a, I think it was €500,000 challenge. There's a 1.5 million euro challenge for anyone who can produce a paper showing the existence of SARS-CoV-2. 2 years, and nobody has tried to claim it. Wow. There was a 500,000, I think that's the right number, challenge in the German court system for proving the existence of a measles virus. It went all the way up to the German Supreme Court, and they ruled there was no evidence for the existence of the measles virus. No evidence. They didn't have to pay. Now, so you take somebody with so-called measles, right? They have, they're sick, they have a fever, and they have a rash. This is a non-specific illness that's because they're poisoned. And by the way, people can communicate, you know, and stimulate reactions in others. Just like I could say something right now and get a reaction from you, right?
Sure.
Right. It's not, it doesn't have to be a virus. There's energetic resonance and all different ways children and people communicate.
Yes.
Anyways, so they take somebody with measles, take their snot, right? Then they put it on that culture. They don't purify anything. They don't find a virus in there. They don't even look for a virus in there. They take the snot. They may centrifuge it a little bit to get rid of some debris. So this is unpurified proteins and genetic stuff from your lungs and your mucus and all kinds of bacteria maybe and fungus and everything. Some of it they get rid of. Most of it is left. This is not a purified virus. Then they put it on a cell culture, starve it, poison it, fetal bovine serum. It grows, and that's called, they put it in a vial, and that's called a live viral culture. That's a live viral vaccine. That's what they inject in you. When they want an attenuated vaccine, they take some of those proteins out of that brew and inject that in you. At no point was there a virus in there. No point. And so is that, you know, in order to say whether that's good for, I mean, think about that. That's what they're doing.
Right.
Injecting up inbred, broken down monkey kidney cells with serum from a newborn calf heart, along with gentamicin, a very toxic antibiotic, amphotericin, which we used to call amphoterrible, and that's what they're in, a bunch of other chemicals, and that's what's called a live viral vaccine.
Wow.
And
that's all the vaccines, or just the one that's real popular right now?
Those are called live viral vaccines. Then there's attenuated, where they take that brew and they take some of the proteins out of there. The COVID shots have nothing to do with that. They don't
totally
even
different.
Use cultures anymore. All they do is they take sequences, which they allege came from a virus, but have no evidence that they did. No evidence.
Right.
They don't know where these sequences came from any more than if you went to a forest with no trees and there was tons of plants and you found something green. You have no idea that's from a tree, especially if you can't see any trees.
Exactly.
There's no way to prove that's from a tree. So they take these sequences and they supposedly put these sequences called mRNA into lipid particles and inject those into you along with a bunch of other undisclosed ingredients. Now, here's the interesting thing about that. The purpose of mRNA is to make you make proteins, right? It goes like this. DNA makes RNA makes protein. That's right. Called transcription and translation.
Right.
By the way, none of that is actually true, but let's just say it is. So you would think that if they're putting in RNA to make you make a quote spike protein, that there would be 100 studies showing if you put this amount of mRNA, you get this amount of protein, right?
Right.
Put this amount, then you get less. Put this amount, right, you get more. And if you put this amount and you get this much, it's not good for you. So if you put this amount, it doesn't do anything. Put this amount, it's good for you. You know how many studies I've seen proving that mRNA shots make you make proteins?
I'm going to venture to say none.
None. Why not?
Wow.
Where are they?
They don't exist.
There are previous studies alleging this is to be the case, but not with these current injections.
Wow.
So we don't even actually know that there's mRNA in there. Nobody has proven that beyond a reasonable doubt, which you would think, why wouldn't they? What's the problem? Just show us how you know it's in there. Here's how much spike protein you make. Here's where it goes. Here's what it does. They don't do that.
Wow.
This is scientific nonsense.
Oh, I agree. I mean, you know, I told you before we jumped on and hit record that I'm 30, almost 39 weeks pregnant. And the last couple of years have been a fight because I've refused to get involved in, you know, this vaccine and allow it into my home, allow it into my family, because I've been wanting to have this baby. And plus, I, even without wanting to have a baby, I was against it in the first place. But, you know, I just kind of intuitively knew not a good idea because I already have a 14-year-old daughter with a severe injury from a flu shot that she got when she was one. And she lost all of her speech and language directly following that. So I'm already
a
like
flu shot is one of those live viral vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, I didn't mean to interrupt, but it's really because they convinced you somehow that there's a virus and you needed to protect by stimulating her quote immune system. And it's just, it's a fantasy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they basically said, hey, she's already been sick a few times. You know, she's a year old, 13 months. You need to do this to protect her. I didn't know any better, you know? And the crazy thing is we were in the emergency room that night and they told us, they said, oh, she had any shots today. I said, she got a flu vaccine when I took her to for her checkup. And they said, yeah, she's having a reaction to it because she was throwing up and she was just screaming and nothing could calm her down. And they're like, oh, she's got a double ear infection now. But she'll be fine. You know, just take her home, give her some antibiotics. She'll be fine. And I have videos of her before going to the emergency room that night, talking, interacting, everything normal, and then gone. And now she'll be 15 in December and still, she could say words more clearly at one than she can at almost 15.
Right.
So it's like, but then people will look at you in the face and say, oh, these things are safe and they're fine and necessary, you know, necessary to prevent death and disease and, you know, all these things. And it's like,
there's not one study showing that any vaccine has decreased the mortality rate for any disease.
Right.
Period.
Right.
And, you know, you asked me earlier about ear infections and things like that.
Yeah, because she still deals with them.
Right.
Chronically. So it's horrible.
Here's the thumbnail version of that, if you want me to go into that.
Yeah.
So again, if you let's just think rationally for a minute.
Yeah.
Right? Logic.
It's
right?
Hard to do these days.
It's hard to do. Okay.
Not a lot of it going on, but let's
try. The theory is you got these microorganisms called bacteria, and they independently cause disease, right? They get in your ear and cause you to be sick and build up fluid. Now, I think I think it helps people with analogies. So one of the ones I came up with, if somebody said, I have a ping pong ball and it can knock down this wall, right?
Right.
So you want to prove that, right? Because you don't necessarily believe that. So the guy says, okay. So he takes a ping pong ball and he puts it in a bucket of stones and ice and he builds a little wall and he throws the bucket of stones and ice and it knocks down the wall. And he says, there, I proved the ping pong ball knocks down the wall. Is that right?
Right. This is not necessarily.
How do you know it's not the stones or the ice?
Right.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
So the only way you would accept it is if somebody took a ping pong ball, threw it at a brick wall, and it knocked it down. Right?
Right.
I mean, that's
right.
That's how humans think. Mm-hmm. So, okay, let's apply that to bacteria. So you have this bacteria like Haemophilus influenza, right? Now, the difference with viruses is there is such an organism called Haemophilus influenza or strep, right?
Okay.
That's true.
Oh, yes, definitely.
So you can find it and you can isolate it, meaning like the ping pong ball, all you've got is the strep bacteria. Right?
Right.
You know how many studies there are published in the medical literature showing in any plant, animal, or human that an isolated culture of any bacteria causes any disease?
I have no idea. I'm going to say none again.
Zero. Nobody has ever shown that. They've tried literally hundreds of times, maybe thousands. They say, well, you have to have the bacteria in the medium with arsenic and mercury and all the rest of it. Then that's like putting it in a bucket of stones. No.
Right.
Just take it out or put the arsenic and the mercury without the bacteria and see what happens. No, you can't do that.
Right.
So what's going on? So here's you know, if you look in nature, bacteria and fungus biodegrade dead and dying stuff, right? Mm-hmm. That's their role. You don't see healthy trees, oh, it's got a bacterial infection. Doesn't happen like that. So something happens to your tissue in your daughter. I don't know the whole story, but let me just guess.
Yeah.
She was poisoned. And it created an inflammatory destruction of many of her mucous membranes, right? That's what happens. And so they're degrading and the bacteria come like on the tree, dying tree, to biodegrade it to clean up the mess.
Right.
Now, here's why that's important. If you say that it's the bacteria causing it, then you kill it with antibiotics. If you say that it's the bacteria are just part of the cleansing process, then you don't kill the bacteria and you let it go to conclusion. And if I'm right, and you do that, you will never have another ear infection again, unless you poison yourself with another flu shot. Whereas if you do the first, the body will generate more bacteria because they're always there. Again and again and again, and then you'll have chronic ear infections because you stopped the tree from being broken down. So as soon as you stop stopping it, it will do it all over again because you got to break it down. It's how life is. And that's exactly what people see. I put braces, metal in my mouth. 2 weeks later, I got strep throat. I took 10 antibiotics and I still have it. What do you think happened? What happened is you poisoned your throat by putting, metals in your mouth.
A bunch of metal in your mouth, yeah.
And that degraded the tissue, right? Then the bacteria, which are always there, they come to help you out, clean up the debris. But right. Your idiot doctor thinks that's an infection. And mm-hmm. so he gives you antibiotics to poison you further and stop the cleaning process. So what's going to mm-hmm. happen? It's going to happen again because right. you still have dead and dying tissue. You can't live with dead and dying tissue. If you do, that's what we call tumors and granulomas and chronic disease. You get buildup of debris. And that's exactly what you see. I spent 40 years as a doctor. That's how everybody got sick, just same way.
Yep. Yeah, it's astounding. You know, my family thinks I'm crazy. I don't understand why they don't actually think that what I say happened to her. And they've gone with their children and done all the shots and everything. And now, you know, the 3-year-old and the 5-year-old have chronic strep throat, chronic ear infections. They can talk and communicate just fine. So there's no problems, right? Allergies, got to give the 5-year-old Claritin every day. Right. You know, people don't draw the correlation. Way. Yeah, exactly.
It's exactly predictable on what I just said. Now, here's the interesting thing. Back in around 2000 or so, 60 Minutes actually did a show at an autism conference. And they asked there was parents in the, you know, about 200 or so. How many of you have a child with autism? Everybody rose their hand because they wouldn't mm-hmm. be there otherwise.
Right.
How many of you think it was from the vaccines? Everybody raised their hand. Yeah. How many of you had a video or picture evidence that your child was normal before the vaccines? Everybody raised their hand. Mm-hmm. How many of you have pictorial or video evidence that your child wasn't normal after the vaccines within, say, a week? Everybody mm-hmm. rose their hand, and 60 Minutes buried the segment.
Wow.
But you can still see it. You can still find it.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the first things we did was try to connect with other families. And there was an abundance of families available here where we live in Atlanta with the same exact story.
Same
yeah,
story.
But we're crazy. We're witches, you know, burn it, take it off the internet, censor it. Never happened. You know, so it's the brainwashing is so deep that, like I said, my sisters who have watched how difficult the last 15 years of my life has been with a nonverbal child, non-speaking child, you know, and they still went through with it with their children. And like, really?
It's a cult.
It is a cult. Absolutely.
Because I've had some experience with people I know in cults, and
oh yeah,
that's why one has to realize, especially when you talk to people, that when you're dealing with person in a cult, that the most important thing is not being ostracized from the cult.
Right.
They actually see that as an existential threat. I don't know if this is true, but it goes back to the time where if you were in a tribe of people and you didn't believe in the ways of the tribe, they kicked you out and then somebody ate you because you were dead meat. So your right. whole survival depended on being in good standing with the cult. And so that's what they're listening to. Are you going mm-hmm. to threaten my being in good standing with the cult? And if you are, it doesn't matter if they prove to you that nobody has found the virus. Doesn't matter if they prove to you that vaccines cause autism over and over again. It doesn't matter if they show you studies showing there's been no decrease in mortality from any vaccine ever.
Right.
That none of that matters because you're telling me I'm going to get kicked out of the tribe. And that's the only thing I hear. And right. that's where we're at as a culture. And cultures that do that don't survive.
No, they don't. That's exactly where we're at. I mean, that's why we want to get out of this city and move, buy some land and just get out of here, because it's, you know, living in a metropolitan city is a dangerous thing these days. I think it really is. Absolutely. And allowing the system to educate your children. And in some ways I'm grateful for the whole 2020 thing, because I feel like a lot of people have really woken up. And they actually see the things that I've been saying for the last 14 years, and I don't sound as crazy or look as crazy as I have for all these years. But, we still have a long way to go, living in a
long way to go. But if you don't sound crazy in this environment, there's something wrong.
I agree.
The dominant story, it's just a story.
Right. Right.
There's so many parts of this story, you have no idea. Maybe you do, but
the more people I talk to, the more I learn, the more it's difficult. It really is to have a normal conversation anymore.
Right.
It truly is. Yeah. So my question, which I'm sure a lot of people are going to have, maybe elementary, simple question, what is it that makes someone have, let's just say, for instance, COVID? Like, you've come down with COVID, right?
Question is, what is COVID?
Right. Well, my family member went out and got a test and it said they had COVID, or someone had it and then they went to go get a blood test and now they have antibodies. So, right.
So the best, there's a couple definitions of COVID that I think are valid. One is the word. Okay. So the word COVID means see, right?
Mm-hmm.
See the Ovid. You know what an Ovid is?
No, I don't.
A sheep.
Oh, okay.
That's one definition of COVID. See the sheep.
Wow.
Here's another one. Certificate of vaccine identification, artificial intelligence. That's the 19 is A is 1 and I is 9.
Wow.
So that's a code for see the sheep, certificate of vaccine identification. So let's talk about the test. The test is a PCR test, meaning it's looking for a piece of genetic material, a very small piece, maybe 10 to 20 nucleotides out of 30,000. As I said before, nobody has ever isolated the virus. Nobody has ever found the virus. Mm-hmm. Nobody has ever characterized the virus. Nobody has ever found an intact genome that allegedly comes from such a particle, which has never been found, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those are all statements of incontrovertible fact. So how can you make a test of a very small piece of something which you've never found? The answer, if you use logic, is you can't. So what are they testing for?
Right.
Basically nothing. Or they're testing for whether you're breaking down. So the more you break down, the more little pieces of genetic material you have in your snot and in your tissues. And so the more likely you will to be positive in any PCR test.
Okay.
So that's what's called a viral load test. So the sicker you are, the more breakdown products you have, has nothing to do with the virus. Nobody ever standardized it. And by the way, if you don't believe me, anybody out there, ask when you do the test, ask for to see the package insert. Because it says in there, this is not to be used for diagnostic purposes. Now, that begs the question, what is it supposed to be used for?
Right.
Like, toilet paper or what is it? I have antibodies. Antibody means you have an antibody to a specific protein that came allegedly from that virus. Question, how do you know the protein came from a virus which you've never found? How do you know It's not because you're breaking down and you make non-specific proteins called antibodies to try to heal your tissues. In fact, one of the major journals of neurology or something has stopped accepting publications for any paper that's based on antibody studies because he says they're all fraudulent.
Really?
They can't be reproduced. There is no such thing as specific monoclonal antibodies. So all you're testing for is whether you have breakdown of your tissue because something happened to you. So none of those have anything to do with showing that you have any disease called See the Sheep or certificate of vaccine identification. All it is, it means you're sick. Now, why are you sick? I mean, I don't know that person's story. Maybe right. they eat crappy food. Maybe they suck on EMFs all day. Maybe they eat glyphosate pancakes. You know, I don't know, but I guarantee I'd find something. Because if you're basically, you know, even today, live a reasonably healthy life, you don't
poisoned.
Get this.
Mm-mm.
So it's all scientific smoke and mirrors. There is no disease. There is no antibody test. There is no PCR test. There's no rapid, there's a test, but it has right. nothing to do with identifying either a virus or a disease.
And how Period. Are people, like, I know you get this question all the time, then what are people getting sick with? It's just the body breaking down.
All kinds of things. They eat shitty food. They exposure to EMFs. They eat glyphosate. It's the same four things. They either fell off their horse, they're starving, they're poisoned, or the biggie is they're delusional. And being delusional means you believe in nonsense. Mm. And for everybody who believes in nonsense, they will eventually do some stupid thing. Because they believe you should spend your whole life giving people HIV drugs and taking shots, and then it kills you.
Yeah.
So what happened? You were delusional and you took action based on that. Actions have consequences and you died. What's so hard to understand about that?
Yeah. And, you know, as far as all these childhood illnesses that go, because I get a lot of fear from my family just because of my plans for this child that is going to be born here in the next couple of weeks, to basically deny everything that is being offered, as I have done through my pregnancy and before. You know, what about these childhood illnesses that are reemerging now because of crazy people like me? What is that all about?
It's a complete fantasy. I said the reason you get sick is children, you know, they're either exposed to emotionally toxic environments, they're poor food, they're being poisoned, and they excrete it through the skin because the skin has a collagen deficiency because their bones are growing fast. Mm. And that's what we call childhood diseases.
Mm.
Nothing more than that. Vaccinating them has never worked. All they do, like with polio, is they change the diagnosis. So the day before the polio vaccine, there was about 8 different conditions like fever, diarrhea, weakness, et cetera, about 7 or 8, that meant you had polio.
Mm-hmm.
The day after the vaccine, you had to be paralyzed for 6 months. Now, the incidence went down from 50,000 a year to about 30 a year. Why? Because most of the people who got diarrhea and weakness and all that, just nothing, you know, it went away in a week. So they didn't have polio anymore. They had the same thing they always had. And only a very tiny minority went on to have 6 months of paralysis. And that was caused by DDT poisoning, which causes exactly the symptoms of diarrhea, weakness, and occasionally, if you get enough and you don't detoxify, you get paralysis. Mm. And before DDT, it was caused by lead arsenic. And this was very well documented. So if anybody can show me evidence of a polio virus existing, I will come back on your show and say I was wrong about everything. They won't do it.
Right.
There is no evidence of any organism particle called a polio virus. Yeah. If there's no polio virus, how in the hell could a vaccine work?
Right.
So, they say, well, they did a PCR test on the feces or the sewage. That's what they say. And somebody had weakness. So that's polio. First of all, if there's no virus, how can you identify the illness by a piece of something that allegedly comes from a virus that you never had? It's right. Scientific smoke and mirrors. Or I have a quote from W.C. Fields. I don't know if you know him, but mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He said, if you can't dazzle them with brilliance, baffle them with bullshit. Yes. That's what this is. It's just baffling people. I don't know. You have to leave it to the experts on these viruses because that's too complicated for me.
Right.
You can't figure out whether you know whether there's a tree or not by seeing. Show me the pictures of the tree.
Right.
People can't do it. If you can't do that, then you've given up your ability to think. And I don't know what you call that, but it's not good.
Right. So what we're really doing with all of these medications and things is making our population sicker, essentially. Yes. Right. Yeah.
That is the goal of medicine.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
They don't know it. You know, I'm not saying that the individual doctor is some sort of demon. They're just, I think the word is useful idiots.
Yeah.
They don't know what they're doing. And honestly, people, don't believe me. Go to your doctor tomorrow, pediatrician. That's all they deal with is viral infection. Mm-hmm. Say, how does a virologist prove the existence of a virus and show that it causes disease? I told you the three steps. They culture it. They show you electron microscope pictures. They find the sequence, which they don't find the sequence. They add up the sequence in that brew. That's the answer. If he or she doesn't know the answer, then how are they involved in this business?
Right. Yeah. And the brainwashing is so strong. You know, I love my husband, but he's been in the medical field for 15 years as in the lab business. He works for a laboratory. And so it's been hard to he saw what happened with our daughter. He's on the same page with me about that. But even with this new baby, he's like, well, what can we do instead of the Hep B? What can we do instead of the eye ointment? I'm like, you can just trust me that I haven't been sleeping around on you during my pregnancy and that these are completely effing useless and only going to hurt the child. That's what we can do instead.
the insanity of giving a newborn baby a vaccine for a sexually transmitted disease.
It's crazy.
It's absolutely. Now, the other thing is, one of the ways you can tell it's nonsense is, so you could, if this was, let's just assume for a minute there's something to this, right?
Right.
Which there isn't. But if there was, you could do a simple test for whether this woman has Hep B.
Right.
99% of them won't. Therefore, you wouldn't need to give them and I've asked, pediatricians and virologists, why do you do that? Why don't you just test, based on your own logic, right? Forget about the fact that the whole thing is just baloney. You know what they say? Well, we have the child captured then, so we know we get a high compliance rate. Mm-hmm. In other words, the child is like, they're there, so they might as well do it.
Right.
That is, you know, I don't even have words for what somebody who actually says those words, what right. kind of a person they are. That's just criminal.
It makes zero sense, you know.
That's a psychopath.
It is a complete psychopath. And with my daughter, it was like, she had jaundice in the hospital and we had to stay an extra 3 days. It was pretty bad jaundice. And they were like, well, that's just because you're Rh negative and she's Rh positive. And I was kind of like, well, doesn't have anything to do with those shots you gave her. And they're like, no, no, those are fine. It's because you're Rh negative. And I'm like, but I wasn't sensitized in the birth. I'm still, you know, and I'm not buying it. And that's the other thing is the Rogam shot that they've been trying to push on me. That I said no, because what's mixed in, it's a blood product.
Yeah. It's
why would I fight as hard as I've been fighting the last 2 years and then say, oh, I'm gonna take this one though, sure. You know.
No.
Yeah, it's wild. But no one wants to put these things together. It's witchcraft, it's science denying, it's, you know, I'm sure all the things that you've heard. So yeah. Well,
all right.
Yeah, this has been awesome. I appreciate the conversation. It was definitely a different conversation than I have all my neat little notes over here. But I do definitely appreciate it. I'm sure I'm going to get some interesting questions after this one. But where can people find you if they want to follow your work? I know you do webinars and you do a lot of things online now.
The best place is drtomcowan.com.
Okay.
And we have, I don't know all the details. We have BitChute channel and all that. But I think if you go to that website, you'll get pretty much every place you need to go.
Fantastic. Well, I'll make sure to put that into the show notes so everyone can find that. And thanks again for being here today.
Okay. Take care. Good luck with you.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode and putting up with my raspy voice for the intro and the outro. Reminder to take care of yourself during the holidays because stress can affect all of us. I wanted to, again, thank you for listening, let you know I've got that free guide to using blue blockers down in the show notes for you, as well as the code end of year to get 20% off of all of my courses through January 1st. And one more little shout out and thank you to my sponsor VivaRays for sponsoring today's episode. You can use my code YOGI to save 15% on those circadian glasses, my go-to source for helping to keep my circadian rhythms nice and healthy. All right, thank you so much for listening. Last episode of the year. We are going to kick it off next year with even more informative episodes. So I hope that you enjoyed this one. Again, head on over to Apple or Spotify, leave me up to that 5-star review if you found this helpful, and share this episode out with other people if you feel that they can benefit from this information. Have a fantastic rest of your day, and I will talk with you again very, very soon.